This sermon was recorded at Christ Church Overland Park, a congregation that seeks to be a people fully alive in God's kingdom.
Thank you. That's all.
Thank you very much, Joel. And thank you all for receiving me with such a warm welcome, even on this very cold morning. It's so good to see each one of you. As we drove here through the rain, we kind of worried that was just going to be Joel and I. I've been with Joel, the last 10 days? And it's really good to see other faces. Joel, you started this. Wow. It really is a privilege to be here. And it's such a privilege to lead this amazing partnership that God put together when none of us even knew it was going to come together so neatly, so nicely. And it's always beautiful to receive a team in Uganda to go to northern Uganda, a part that many of us Ugandans didn't even bother to visit when they went through 20 years of a civil war. It took friends from more than 8,000 miles away to get us to go to a part of our country that was aching. To just stand with them and remind them that regardless of how hard times have been, God saw it all and God was starting to heal. And over the years, we've seen God healing lives, communities, and now the nation. I bring greetings from those people. Those people that for so long you've prayed for and you've given money to go and just do all kinds of things for. Those people say thank you. And today I bring that gratitude. I bring that appreciation. Please receive it. I've been introduced as Iguma Gabriel, who does very many things. Amidst all that, Joel forgot to mention that my wife still is the boss. Kind of like in Joel's house, but that's okay. I prayed with the chaplain of my church, St. Francis, before I came, the day before I got onto the plane. And he anointed my hands and just asked God to use them. I arrived here on a Thursday, and on a Friday morning, this wasn't part of the plan. Friday morning, I found myself in a women's prayer meeting, and we're over a pool out here. And God just started to speak to us about what he's doing in this community. Before I even get into what has been prepared, I'd like to just share a little bit from the experience out there. When you've been part of something for so long, certain times things happen and you just miss them. Almost everyone I see here probably has watched children grow. And at a certain point you look back and wonder, when did you get so big? They were growing all along. It's just that since you were always there with them, you did not notice the growth. This congregation has grown in so many ways. And one of the ways God was revealing is this congregation has been equipped. Equipped, and now is a time to go and share that I'm here on a mission trip and it's so easy to say, come to Uganda and share that. But no. Do you know what a person an aisle away from you is going through? Do you know what a person who sits on the other side of the office is going through? Do you know what your neighbor on the other side of the street is going through? Do you know that what has been invested in you through the amazing ministry here at Christ Church is what that person needs to know that all is going to be well? Almighty God is there with them. It is my prayer that at the end of this sermon, you will be convicted to take that has been invested in you and you share it with other people. We just read from the Word of God, Romans chapter 8. During the Bible study, the women's fellowship, when I mentioned that I'd be preaching from Romans chapter 8, somebody said, "Woof, that's one of the hardest scriptures to preach from. I am glad I'm not the one preaching that sermon." Well, somebody has got to do it. Today, that person is me. This is part of a new series that's being done. The leadership here was led to do some more teachings on the Holy Spirit. And I know that Bishop Todd started you off. And please forgive, some of the pronunciations will be a little off. I pray the Spirit will reveal the true word to you, even when I pronounce it wrongly. But the bishop was here. And he explained who the Holy Spirit is. And it is key to say who, because the Holy Spirit is not an it. The third person in the Trinity, and you refer to people as him, who, you know, they. Third person in the Trinity, who goes by all kinds of names. One of the names that some people are uncomfortable with is that one, Holy Spirit. People forget the holy part and say, if it's a spirit, I want nothing to do with spirits. This is a different spirit. A spirit of God. A spirit that's a helper, a comforter, a friend. So do not fear the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came to do a unique ministry. A ministry that only the Spirit of God can do. You see, when God created man and woman and placed them in the Garden of Eden, man was created free and man enjoyed God's presence. Genesis chapter, Adam walked with God. Adam was given dominion over everything on earth. And one simple instruction of something Adam was not to do, well, we're his descendants and we do the same. Many times what we've been told not to do is exactly what we want to do. And in one act of sin, all humanity, even before stepping on this earth, fell. God doesn't change his mind on things. God is true to his word. The punishment for doing that man had been told not to do was death and still is death. And so spiritually, all men died. Spiritually, all men by that act were separated from God. God, being a loving father, came up with a way of bridging that gap. And so if you read in the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 4, 1 to 35, quite long, but I will read some of the things that had to be done in order to be forgiven of sin, to come back to being one with God. Let me just read a few bits of that. Let me start at Leviticus 4. Let's see. Let's read 1 to probably 4 or 5. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel, saying, if anyone sin unintentionally in any of the Lord's commandments about things not to be done, and does any one of them, it is the anointed priest. If it is the anointed priest who sins, thus he brings guilt on all the people. Then he shall offer for the sin that he has committed a bull from the herd without blemish to the Lord for a sin offering. He shall bring the bull to the entrance of the tent of meeting before the Lord and lay his hands on the bull, and then he will anoint it, sacrifice it. He will take the blood." Just imagine we had to go through all that. And yet, even after going through such an elaborate process, the sin wasn't gone forever, because if you fell again, you'd have to do the process again. That was really hard work. God came up with a solution for that. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, as a man, knew no sin, he was slain, he fought that battle and conquered death. And when he conquered death, he said, "It is finished." Other words recorded of Jesus after really speak to the fact that by that act, we are also set free from the sin of Adam, the sin that all men share in. Now there is freedom by the blood of Christ. And that free gift is given to everyone. And yet when you take today's reading, it says, Romans chapter 8, "There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ." That means, let's read it another way. "There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ." What of those who are not in Christ? So that free gift, whereas it is available, you have to receive it. If you're no longer going to be condemned, and if you'd like to know what the condemnation, there is a lot to read on that, but in chapter 7 of Romans, some scholars say in chapter 7, Paul was preoccupied with the law. And some still think the law can save them. Well, the law is not bad. The law is good. But if you read Romans 7, the law does not save you. The law is actually a mirror. It shows you where the blemish is. It shows you what you need to put right. And then what saves you is what Paul talks about in chapter 8. And when Christ sets you free, you are free indeed. There's therefore no more condemnation. But you've got to take the step to receive that beautiful gift. Look at it this way. If you went and bought lottery tickets, and those tickets are the winning tickets, if you put those in a drawer and close that drawer, and the big announcement is made, $50 million, and you do not look at your tickets to know they are the winning tickets. The prize money is there, and you have the tickets. You don't take them, you don't turn them in, you don't get that prize money. The price has been paid, and therefore you and I no longer have to die. But we have to take those tickets and turn them in order to enjoy that prize money. The Spirit of God is here today and He's saying, come get that prize money. I paid this price. I gave my Son's blood so I could enjoy communion with you. But you have to come. If such a beautiful gift has been given and given for free, how come some do not enjoy this gift? How come? How can you have the winning tickets and you don't turn them in? How? Why wouldn't you go claim that prize? There are many reasons. Many people have many different reasons as to why. I'll just touch on a few. I'll start with ignorance. You see, if you don't know that you have the winning tickets, you're not going to take just any tickets. If you don't know that the blood of Christ has been shed for you, and therefore there is now no condemnation, you can't enjoy that free gift. That's why Paul writes in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, but how can they call on Him to save them unless they believe in Him? And how can they believe in Him if they have never heard about Him? And how can they hear about Him unless somebody tell them? Let's go back to where this message began. Somebody told you about the gift of salvation. And now you bask in that freedom. But there's those who cannot be saved because they haven't believed. And it's not that they've not believed out of their free will. They have not believed because they have not heard. And it's not that they do not want to hear. They haven't heard because no one has told them. When Jesus left this world, He said, go and make disciples of all nations. That instruction is given to every believer. And if you sit here today and you are a believer, that instruction is given to you. This message of freedom in Christ Jesus, this message of freedom in the Spirit, is a message too good to be kept. It's a message for us to go and tell the whole world. Starting from the person right next to you. That is why this partnership is so dear to my heart. Because whereas I lived in Kampala, less than 300 miles from Gulu, it took people from 8,000 miles away to come and get me to go. And now, I know this message. I go often, and I tell others, you need to come. Not necessarily to Gulu. Christ Church has availed many opportunities for you to go and share this message of salvation. So go. At any opportunity, go. When there's a team out there, offer to be on the prayer support team, because the prayers are important, because the battles we fight are not against flesh and blood, and therefore we need covering. Even when we are in the mission field, we need a team of people to be praying and covering us just in case. Like Job did with his children, Job had to sacrifice, because at that time, Jesus Christ hadn't yet paid the price. So at that time, Job had to sacrifice on behalf of his children just in case they had sinned against God. You may feel like you are not qualified. Who am I to go and talk about these things that I'm hearing? There are people in the Bible that also felt they were not qualified. Gideon is one example. Judges chapter 6, verse 14. And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian, and I am sending you." Gideon responded, "Please, Lord, how can I deliver Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house." What the Lord said to him is what the Lord is saying to you today. I will be with you. Every time we receive teams in Uganda, and I can only talk about the teams that come to Uganda because those are the ones I receive, you can see people that are unsure about themselves. You can see people even start to say, I will be in the background. I will give. I will support. You know, I will be in the prayer room, because they just don't feel qualified. I've seen God use people who didn't even know that the experiences they had been through were to prepare them for a time as that. I've seen it happen to young and old. We had Patrick, your senior pastor, come on the last mission visit, and he preached at St. Francis. St. Francis is maybe 70% young people, below the age of 30. And Patrick preached a wonderful message. Over the years, I think Patrick has best learned how to preach to, well, older people. On the team, someone had been through experiences that maybe you'd say are horrible experiences. And she is seated right there. I don't have her permission, so she might throw something at me. Kat Foster. First of all, bless the congregation with her beautiful voice. But after blessing us with her beautiful voice, for a few minutes she shared her testimony. And my goodness, God took that and started to work in people's hearts. If you'd asked Kat Foster, "Do you think you'll ever preach at someone?" she probably would say, "Are you crazy? Maybe I can sing one. I'm not going to speak one." Oh, she did. And the Spirit took those experiences and ministered to people in a way I could not, in a way Patrick could not. So like God said to Moses when he gave his excuses, "I cannot speak, Lord, I'm..." He asked him, "What do you have in your hand?" The experiences you've gone through is what God has put in your hand. And those experiences God wants to use to minister to his people. It's so amazing how God does that. So for so long you've given money and you've given prayers. One of the things God is saying today is, "I want you. And I have given my Spirit to enable you to do things that you do not even believe you're able to do." You see, when we pray with and for people, we have no power. We're flesh and blood. It's just that you get to understand that when you open your heart to God, He's not only with you, he is in you. And try and just picture for a moment, that power that's within you is the power that raised Christ from the dead. What can that power do? What can that power do? So avail yourselves. Avail yourselves. I'll close with this. There's people who have not responded to the call of God out of disobedience. Where for a long time you've had God say it, and you just haven't acted on it. In the simple English I know, that's called disobedience. I'm telling you, this time, in this case I'm saying God has been telling you and you've not been doing. Someone in the Bible did that. Jonah was asked to go to Nineveh. And he thought he had a better plan than God, and he thought he could hide from God. I don't know what God has been saying to you, how complex or how simple it is. One thing is for sure, whether complex or simple, you can't achieve it without His Spirit. So first of all, open your heart to His Spirit. Number two, after you've done that, you can take the Jonah route, which is the long way round, or you can take the God route, which is, here I am, Lord, use me. And when the Lord has used you to do His amazing work, just do one thing for Him. Give the glory back to Him, and you will see what amazing things He will do. God bless you.